So I went and I went to see this Byron Allen thing. What a horrible piece of crap TV show he had. They kept us, and we were like almost kept captive in the studio until like 1 in the morning, and it was like four horrible black comedians, the best of which was like Roz from, what was that, the comedy show?
What's Happening?
No. What's the one where they're competing to be the last comic standing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Comic standing, yeah.
Yeah, so she was the best one of the bunch.
That's they didn't get the crippled. Oh, and he was white.
Yeah. I know. But anyway, then the next day, though, I went down and I got tickets for The Price is Right, because we love The Price is Right. Do you love The Price is Right and Bob Barker?
Oh, of course.
But this was not Bob Barker. You didn't go to see
him. No, I got tickets to Bob Barker.
Oh, you did? Good for you.
And then I heard the five most exciting words in show business.
Come on down.
Come on down.
I heard, Jeff Goodman, come on down. I was the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Wow. Now, is that, are we going to be able to see you on TV?
Yes, you may.
Really?
January 29th.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. Oh.
Hey,
now,
Jeff,
I guess there's things you can't say.
I don't know. They didn't tell me I can't
say
anything.
You have to sign any kind of release of what?
I signed it. I didn't read it, so I don't know if I can say it or not. But
you didn't? Okay. All right. So did you? What happened?
Well, I first had a bid on a dishwasher. So the dishwasher came, and you don't see anything. I swear to God, everything's like in a fog. Oh. I saw a dishwasher come down. It didn't look all that nice.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, $300-$400. So I bid $318. I figured I'd have high on there for good luck.
Aw.
And
was it good luck?
No.
Oh, crap.
How much, Rob, would you think a dishwasher is on The Price is Right?
Unfortunately, I think dishwashers are higher than
that. Yeah, $500 to $600.
Yeah. What would you be your guess?
I'm going to say $620.
Okay.
What was the brand?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
You can't see anything. All you see is cameras.
Don't they tell you? Don't they say,
but you're like so crazed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
You can't see monitors?
I guess you can, but I really didn't look.
Okay.
So the price of the dishwasher was $1,200.
I had a dishwasher for $1,200. I fired him.
Yeah, right.
His name was Manuel. He was sleeping with my wife.
Needless to say, I didn't win the dishwasher.
No.
Oh, $1,200.
$1,200.
Mm-hmm. And she went on to play In the Bag and only won $4,000.
Well, who? What?
The woman who sat next to
Well, wait, so that was your only thing to do?
No. Then I got to play games, baby.
All right.
Then the next item up for bid was a hammock. Something
a string hammock.
Yeah, no. No, it was a self-supporting green hammock with a little canopy top.
All right, $200.
No, I bid $818.
The hammock!
I know. But I don't know what got into me. I bid $818. And then the other people bid. I didn't hear their bids at all because I was the second bidder on that one.
Yeah.
And the hammock price was $828.
Oh.
And I thought I went over.
$128.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I went over until all of a sudden I see Bob Barker pointing at me and a million people like waving me up. And I'm hearing ding, ding, ding. And I don't even know what happened.
Right.
And because you're supposed to see flashing lights, but I didn't see flashing lights. But all of a sudden, so Bob's pointing at me. I guess, I guess I won. So I ran up on stage, and I beat Bob to the revolving platform. Very proud of I had a race with an 85-year-old Bob Barker and won. I'm thrilled about that. But he's very calming and a really nice guy.
Oh, well,
he
on
really
TV.
He's really nice in person. Really very warm.
Good.
Very, very warm.
That's nice.
I mean,
all his girlfriends will certainly attest to.
Yeah, and he's really, he really works hard.
David.
They tape about 40 weeks a year.
That's incredible.
He tapes two shows on Monday, one show each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
He works 4 days a week?
Four days a week.
That's a lot. That really is quite a bit.
Four days a week.
How old is he?
He's 85.
80s.
75?
No, he's in his 80s.
85, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at him.
No, he's in great shape. Holy crap.
Oh, he looks old on the TV now. Really?
He's in great shape.
Wow. He stopped dyeing his hair. I know that.
Yeah, he turned white. Got scared. I don't know. But anyway, so then I played, of all games, it was kind of lame, but you'll see. There's something interesting that I do that I won't give away because you'll love to see it.
Oh, boy, okay.
It's pretty funny. Everyone thought it was hilarious except for me.
Lift your shirt and grab your nipples or something?
You know, David, when you see it, you're not going to believe how close you are.
Uh-oh.
It was quite embarrassing for me. People, my relatives are all going to scream in horror when they see this. They're going to disown me.
So your circumcision scar is now for everyone.
That's right. But anyway, so...
So, okay, we got, like,
so
two
I
more
played,
minutes.
So, I played, like, the lamest game in Price is Right history. I played Squeeze Play.
Okay,
Squeeze play is where they give you five numbers, mm-hmm. and you have to pick one of the three middle numbers to come out, and the thing squeezes, and it goes, and the dollar sign pops up in front of it.
Oh, okay.
And if you match the price of the prize with the object, you win.
All right.
So I had the chance to win, are you ready for this one?
Yes.
A 62-inch, one of those big deluxe TVs.
Oh, it's just a TV, right, yeah.
A 62-inch TV.
Nice.
What do you think with 62 inches?
Alibi. I never leave a house, but anyway, yeah.
So Bob presses the button, and he goes, let's see if you won, Jeffrey, because you have to go by your full legal name. So I press the button, and... Bing, 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 I won! A 62-inch color TV.
Congratulations!
I was so flipped, I just... Bob reached out his hand, I just went and bear hugged him.
And it wasn't $1,200.
Well, six of his ribs.
No, it was $4,000. It was actually $3,990-something. But I'm telling you, he goes, the turntable turned around, I saw it was Squeeze Play.
Yeah.
And they said... Now, before he's even going, you take out the first nine, the second nine, or the five. The entire audience is just going, five, five, five. I mean, I want to say, I don't know, maybe one of the nine. But they were just so adamant
about
it. And
you went to the five.
Well,
and
I just said, five. They took out the five, and bing, 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 I won.
Wow.
Congratulations. So now what happened? Is it going to be delivered to you? Do you have to schlep it from California?
Yeah, it was on my back for the four airports.
It's on its way now. It gets here January 29th.
No, actually what happens is it's so big, the manufacturer has to send it themselves.
That's good. That's better than having to schlep it. Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to schedule that, and my hammock comes UPS.
Oh, you got the hammock too. Well, you have a backyard. That's actually great.
And then
oh, not to stop in Raleigh.
Hey, by the way, it's 10:58 p.m. We've got to start the Dave's Gone By program.
And I can continue the story next week.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit
more.
There's more? Oh, gosh. And even though you probably have to give the TV back now because you broke some confidentiality agreement.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
Hope not. Anyway, Rob, Jante, thank you so much. Are you on this station at all at this point?
No, I don't think I am. I'm still producing one of the other shows, Labor Lines. Well, co-producing, kind of editing, but, you know, Vic's a great guy, as you know, Dave. I mean, I can't say enough great things. After I say great things about Jeff, I have to say great things about Victor, but
great guy,
and of course, Tom Ross is always getting the shows on, but to answer the question, no, I'm just a listener.
Well, thank you for being a terrific listener. I hope you'll, not that you won't have anything better to do, but make sure you call in on New Year's Eve for the big WGBB New Year's party that Jeff and I are hosting. Well, yeah,
New Year's Eve is going to be catered, by the way. It's going to be catered by my friends who own Galaxy Caterers in Lindenhurst.
And Taco Bell is providing the onions. So it's going to be fabulous.
All right, guys, thank you.
Have a great night. Thanks, Rob.
I enjoy the stories, believe me. I really do. You guys make my day.
Thank you
so much.
All right, we've got business to do, a couple of things to play, and then we are off to... Whoops, I forgot to queue up. Jeff, talk to the people again.
Okay, what do you want me to talk about, Dave?
Well, give them a hint of what else is on the game show.
Well, let me tell you, after the first taping, they asked people if they'd like to come back the next day, where Bob Barker was not taping, but we were actually doing a taping of one of the prospective new hosts, I guess it is, because he doesn't really have the job, but we got to come back the next day for a taping of a new host. That was quite interesting because I don't know if I could. I probably won't. I'm not going to tell you who it is until I find out if I could say that. But it was actually very interesting, and we did three practice shows, and I got onto them too. But I'll tell you more about that next week as Dave prepares to lead us into Dave's Gone By.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight!
I'll have to sing a little bit of it.
Sing it, Dave. Sing it.
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Well, not exactly Captain Beefheart, but...
Welcome to This Is Where Every Highway Is a Sunrise.
Yes, WGBB AM 1240, the radio station, and also live stream. We're back streaming on the web. The computers are working again, so you can listen on AM 1240 WGBB.
So all you spiders will be very happy.
Oh, what was that?
The spiders will be happy. We're back on
the web. Yeah. AM 1240 WGBB.com. I actually have a special guest on the telephone.
A very special guest.
Yeah, she's not that special. Yeah, and yes, of course, she's the most special guest in my whole life. It's my wife. Hello, Joycey Joyce. Hello, honey?
I'm not a special guest.
I wouldn't think
Joyce,
to
me, you're a very special guest.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're the
I
most
love you, Joyce. Remember, Tuesday at 8, you and me, while Dave's on the radio.
But won't you... Oh, wait, hey.
I'm not going to be on the radio Tuesday. Oh, no, I think the telethon's over.
Yes.
That's why Joyce was calling. There was the other Jewish telethon was on tonight.
Why do Jews need telethons? I thought we controlled Hollywood and had all the money. Speaking of which, why did Mel Gibson's movie make so much money this weekend?
Oh, the Apocalypse.
It was number one.
How much? Well, number one in a week.
14 million, yeah.
Well, that's not so... I mean, there are movies that open with 40 million, and then there are movies... 14.
But I wanted to Apocabamo.
What was that?
Apocalypto. I wanted to be an Apocabamo.
Oh, like, well, you know what? If it only opened with 14 mil and it doesn't build.
But it opened at number one.
I know.
It took the Happy Feet out of number one.
Oh, he beat the Penguins? That son of a bitch. Oh, well.
And he beat Brad Pitt and the Blood Diamond.
Well, who wants to see that? Stupid, you know, South Africa.
Certainly not Jennifer Aniston.
It's not Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Connelly.
No, Jennifer Aniston was Brad Pitt's ex-wife.
Oh, right. Oh, but but the other Jennifer is in Blood Diamond.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to see that movie.
Neither do I. I don't want to see Apocalypto. Honey, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what were you going to tell us about the other telethon?
I was going to tell you that I was very afraid because who's the main rabbi?
Well, in this particular one, it's Rabbi Pearl. He's local, Long Island, not Rabbi Kunin, who does the one in California.
Well, Rabbi Pearl at the end was hoisted on the shoulders of some very tall Orthodox man.
Yeah.
And he was being flung and flailed around the set while a bunch of Conservadox people were rapping.
It was Kirk the Rabbis.
Was he naked or was he still at his tallest?
No, he looked a little bit stunned as if he didn't know what to do.
I don't blame him.
And then the two people who were singing were sort of rapping, you gotta give to receive or something like this.
Oh, good God.
It was frightening.
You better go on The Price is Right.
Did you hear any part of our show, the 10:30 pre-show?
No, I was not.
Joyce, you missed the best story in the world.
Jeff won a television set.
Oh, well, I know. I heard that the TV reference, but
not a television set.
What?
I won a 62-inch flat screen something. There's a couple of things. HDTV set worth $4,000.
And The Price is Right.
But when will he be on TV? When will you be on good TV?
Yeah, remind everybody. Jeff, if you missed the pre-show, Jeff went out to California and actually not only went to see Price is Right, he came on down. He won a hammock, and he won the big screen.
Two things I need to know, the hammock and a TV.
Well, TV's great. The hammock, I know, but...
I can sit in the hammock and watch the TV.
Well, if you're running an extension cord, or you're checking up in your living room.
When will Jeff's episode appear on TV?
It will be Monday, January 29th, after a Dave's Gone By episode.
Oh, wow.
Because we do Sundays, get it? It's Monday.
The next morning,
at 10 a.m., so exactly 10 hours after we're off the air. I'll be back on here.
That's so excellent. Congratulations.
Did you hug Bob Barker?
I gave him a big bear hug.
And any of the Bob Barker BPAs?
What?
The beauties of Bob Barker.
They don't even get close to you. They stood so far away from me, I can't tell you.
Well, due to all that sexual harassment with Bob Barker, I'm sure they don't know your
end. Listen, don't you start that Bob Barker nonsense with me.
He was stooping all the time.
He's my friend. He was a nice guy.
The only thing I think he does that's good is he encourages people to stay and neuter animals.
He's very nice. He's really warm. He's really nice. I think the whole thing is, like, overblown. But, you know, good for him. He's still sexually active at his age.
Oh.
And God bless him. Oh. And I hope he gets laid in retirement, too.
Oh.
Well, why not, you know?
I say good enough for Bob Barker.
I mean, not if he's doing it with Don Pardo, but anybody else.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you about the telephone. I'm going to go in great papers.
Oh, okay. Now,
Miss Holier Than Thou.
Let's everybody No, I'm not a religious person per se. I'm culturally Jewish. But like, does everybody say a prayer and wish my beloved and wonderful wife good luck on Thursday when she defends her dissertation? I mean, this has like been building up for months and months. So
years and years.
To, well, yes, for 50 months.
And if they don't like it, I'm going to come and sit on each and every one of them.
Yes, yeah, they would like that, I'm sure. Yeah.
What?
They would truly enjoy that. You don't know who you're dealing
well,
okay, with.
Well, then just tell them I'll beat them to a pulp.
Aww.
They'll have the wrath of Jeff Goodman, winner on the TV game show The Price is Right on their hands.
We could perhaps drop your big screen TV on one of
those. I am in a hammock.
That's right. I'll keep them hostage in the hammock.
That's right.
They'll be a hammock hostage.
But honey, best of luck. And, you know, I mean, you'll do fine. You'll be swell. You'll be great.
Don't go all Broadway on me.
Okay, sorry. I'm doing jazz hands.
Did you review the motto you're going to use for the new show with Jeff?
Oh,
I don't know that.
Because I had sent something in for the website of the other radio station,
mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the one for this one. What do you remember, honey?
It said something like funny talk, a lot of stuff,
music,
enjoyment.
Comedy, talk radio, and if the mood is right, bunion surgery. So.
Oh God, bunion surgery.
Why? What? No. We'll brainstorm. We'll come up with something else.
That's just lap dance.
What's that?
A stomach stapling. I don't know.
Well, no, that's, you know, we want to go there.
Well, listen, you guys have fun.
Thank you.
Well, I could talk a little longer.
She's got work to do.
I've got a grade like 20-something.
Oh, be holier than thou. Go make some students' lives very unhappy, Joyce. Go ahead.
That's her job.
Joyce, give them all A's. Be nice.
Somebody's got to do it, Jeff.
Where are you teaching?
At Pace and at Fordham.
Ooh. So should the Fordham students be very nervous tomorrow when they get their papers back?
Well, tomorrow's case, they won't be nervous. The ones will be nervous are the ones taking their final.
So are they all very smart in your class?
Well, some are. I like them because they all chat. They're more chatty and they have more life experience.
Oh,
the Fordham ones are mostly babies. They're quite young.
So you can promise me that they will pass?
Oh, no. Some won't. I've seen one in the beginning of the first class. Once again, and then now. I mean, you can't pass if you're in class three times.
So who's the dumbest?
I don't think anyone's dumb. I think they're not present.
Are they lazy?
I don't think they're lazy. I mean, they're not. I think they're hardworking. I think a lot of them take like 9 courses.
Mm.
You know, to work a full-time job. Yeah, because college is very expensive.
You want to talk about the cross-dresser? Or not?
No, I don't want to talk about the cross-dresser.
You have a cross-dresser in your class?
Female.
I'm not going to talk
really?
About that.
Yeah, oh well. I am.
Female to male.
Class is almost over, so we can, no, apparently there's someone.
Anyway, listen, I'm going to go.
What's her name?
and her cup size. Anyway.
Which cup?
God help us. Have fun and try and be good.
Thank you, Joyce. Have a good one. I'll see you later.
Should I burp on the show or what?
What's this?
Yeah, I thought you liked when I burp.
No, I do not like it at all, Jeff. It is you are very charming, you're very engaging, you're a lovely human being, but the one fatal flaw you have is the any kind of a, you know, burping or other things.
Anything gastrointestinal.
How about my choice of airline flights?
That's fine. Anything you do, Jeff, is fine by me, except the burping or other stuff.
Okay, no burping tonight.
No burping tonight. Maybe a celebratory burp, God willing, when
on New Year's.
She's a doctor a week from now.
Okay.
Sounds good.
But
and also,
but I'll be in Florida a week from now.
We'll be drinking non-alcoholic champagne at the radio station that night, and we'll be on the air doing it. So
excellent.
It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, honey.
Okay, I'm going to go.
Good luck to you, babe.
Okay,
see you later.
Happy grading.
Thank you. Bye.
Give my love to the doggies. Bye-bye. My wife, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful, the beautiful. No, don't burp. I almost did, but that was a real one.
I know.
Hey, you know what it's time for?
What?
It's time for the news.
What's
gone
the news
by.
Across the nation.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By.
That was so good. That was the first time I heard that.
You never heard the intro theme? Well, it's been a long time since yeah, that's the intro to the news, Gone
How
By.
How long did it take you to make that?
An hour.
You are so talented.
Well, thank you. Wait till you hear the big time theme for our show tomorrow on WUSB. And I'm have it all together. I haven't put it on CD yet, so hopefully I'll have time. Mm. But it's very cool. It's all interspersed big time things.
Okay.
It's neat. Anywho, let me do this so we can get through it, because we also have a great interview later in the show. Peter Fitzgerald will be here, and he will be interviewing... oh, my God, who's Peter interviewing tonight? It's all about resumes. So about trying to get a job.
When is his friend Gerald Fitzpeter coming back?
Well, yes. And that's exactly the kind of fellow Peter Fitzgerald is, as you will hear.
I don't understand.
Yeah, no.
Can you start out for me, please?
Do you know what the news gone by is? It's a look at the world and local events of the past week from a resume-mocking perspective. Get it? Resume, resume-mocking? Okay. Now, how could we not start the news gone by with a big story in the fast food world just weeks after spinach became the first leafy green pot to make people dizzy and nauseous? A second E. coli outbreak hit New York, New Jersey, and then other states, courtesy of Taco Bell. As of Friday, more than 120 people
ran to the border.
Right. Had gotten sick from E. coli bacteria, nearly all of them after eating at the Mexican restaurant chain. The Center for Disease Control is targeting Taco Bell suppliers, especially those who provided green onions, which appear to be the culprit. As a precautionary measure, Taco Bell has removed green onions from all its restaurants, and they've set up a toll-free number, 1-800-TACO-BELL, for people with questions about their food. Taco Bell's CEO promises that the E. coli outbreak is an anomaly, that there's nothing wrong with the meals at Taco Bell, and if you go to the restaurant, you will not get deathly ill, you will not need hospitalization. If you do experience vomiting and diarrhea, be assured it's just the same vomiting and diarrhea Taco Bell has been giving its customers since 1962. Come on, you can laugh at that. I see a smile.
People, I just got a little gas.
All right. Well, in other news, the Nazis are back, and this time they're tasty. An Ohio art exhibit recently caused a Michael Richards-type stir, a Führer, if you will.
Oh.
The shopkeeper of a hardware store, who often allows controversial art to be displayed in his window.
Hardware art?
Well, it's a hardware store. He lets artists use it. This time he gave the display to a bunch of gingerbread men, gingerbread Nazis, created by artist Keith McGuckin. Said the store owner, quote, "He's usually on the edge, but he's gone way overboard this time. The owner covered all the gingerbread war criminals with a blanket, and he's demanding that they be removed." And he did, this is true. He left one display, a depiction of a suicidal snowman sitting under a hairdryer. But,
how do you get Nazi gingerbread men?
Just little armbands and stuff like that. They're dressed like Nazis. So the artist, McGuckin, says, quote, "I want people to say, oh my gosh." And then they look at it and go, oh, it is kind of pretty. Previous McGuckin works have included a snowman attacking a caroler and a little boy using his chemistry set to make crystal meth. Maybe, said McGuckin, again, quote, "I just find beauty in bizarre places." Now, I see both sides of this. The Nazis would offend me, of course, but I get the shock comedy of it. And think about it, Jeff. Nazi gingerbread men is really payback, because this time it's them going into the oven. Thank you.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you very much.
So I was thinking you could be like that rabbit in the Monty Python thing, and you can bite their head off.
That's, there you go. That's true. Very
you
good.
You can eat them, as it were.
As it were. Yeah, we won't go there. In German, speaking of Germans, crime news. Their customs officials recently seized nearly 1 million counterfeit Nike sneakers. German officials are now shredding the fake footwear, which, unlike official Nikes, are not made out of latex and rubber. That's too expensive. So instead, in German tradition, they're made out of the workers. And speaking of...
Oh, God! Put that joke back in the oven. Shred it!
Speaking of latex and rubber,
I thought you were going to say that the Nikes don't normally shred. I don't know.
Yeah. I had to go to the dark side. You know, hey, how many Indians does it take to fit into a condom?
8.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? You need to try it. Okay.
Well, which are we talking, the Dothead Indians or the Woo Woo Indians?
The Dothead Indians from As Bees and Honey Drown. Yes.
Oh, 10.
10 Godhead Indians. Well, certainly it's more than one, because Indian men are having a terrible problem with condoms, so they say, because the standard international sizes are at least an inch larger than they are. The Indian Council of Medical Research did a 2-year study, and they found that 60% of men in Mumbai had penises an inch too short for standard rubbers, and that 30% of the men...
Condoms, not rubbers.
What's the diff?
They're condoms.
Okay, they're...
Made of latex.
They're man umbrellas. We'll call them that. Anyway, 30% of the men were 2 inches too short for the standard condoms. The problem is that the wrong size condom can tear or slip or fall off, and especially since men put them on rather quickly for obvious reasons. And this shortfall is no laughing matter, since India has the world's largest HIV-positive male population. In fact, the tragic part for Indian men, the most effective birth control is something called the visual method. That's where the Indian man takes down his pants, and by the time the woman stops laughing, he's lost his heart on. Thank you.
Well, I feel bad for them, because I have a similar problem. It's only that those magnums are just a little too small.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, I have that same problem. I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to brag, but yeah.
Well, David, how come when we last time we went to Duane Reade, you got the teeny tiny ones?
No, I get the Magnum thimbles. That's the thing. Anywho. Elsewhere, a burglary suspect who tripped an alarm in a Houston shopping center tried a novel way to escape. Police officers found the crook hiding inside an air conditioning unit. Not only didn't he get to keep the money, but he froze his assets. Now, that one you laugh at. That one you find funny. All right. In sports news, Yankees owner George Steinbrenner was hospitalized a couple of weeks ago after he became ill watching a school play. Well, who hasn't? No, but Steinbrenner's granddaughter, Haley Swindoll, a junior at the University of North Carolina.
Is her name Swindoll?
Go figure. Guess.
Wow.
Apple doesn't fall far. Was playing the lead in Cabaret. And her proud granddaddy was in the audience, enjoying the show, until he turned pale and suffered chest pains. They canceled the rest of the performance, while Steinbrenner was watched overnight and then released. He said he was
watched by two ladies.
Well, Steinbrenner said he was disappointed that he couldn't watch Haley's full performance that night. He also said that he would have traded the MC and Fräulein Schneider for two sophomores and a faculty member to be named later. In medical news...
And you know what I can't get my words straight. What's wrong with that? The moral of the story is?
What is the moral of that story?
Money makes the world
go around.
Go around.
Tomorrow belongs to him, but not much longer. In medical news...
Oh,
yeah, he's all right. If you think you're thick-headed, dig this story about a woman from Brazil who was shot in the head 6 times and lived. After she refused to reconcile with her ex-husband, Patricia Pereira was shot by him 6 times, point-blank, with a .32-caliber pistol. Astonishingly, none of the bullets even pierced her skull. In fact, they didn't even have to be immediately extracted. I mean, they were, but medically they didn't have to be. Pereira's husband is still on the lam. And meanwhile, doctors have no idea how she survived, let alone walked out of the hospital a day later, hardly worse for wear. But if you put your fingers on her head and blow into her mouth, you can play Yankee Doodle, Greensleeves, and Locomotive Breath.
Not to mention play bowling.
Ooh, there you go. Well, then she has extra holes for that. That would be if there were 3 holes in her head, but there already are.
It's the sizes.
Yes, okay. In further music news...
What they do? I mean, I can't. I got hit in the head. Oh, well, here, take a Tylenol. You'll feel better.
She got shot in the head 6 times, and she's fine. She must come from the same stock as that guy Dick Cheney
shot.
What
kind of gun was that? Yeah, right? Who apologizes to Cheney for being in the way.
Oh, man. In music news, Matthew Fisher of the 1960s rock group Procol Harum is suing his ex-bandmates over authorship of their most famous song. Their only famous song, actually, A Whiter Shade of Pale. Seems 4 decades after that tune came out, Fisher woke up one day and said, "Hey, I didn't write the actual tune or the lyrics, but I'm entitled to my share of millions of royalties. Why? Well, he was the organist for Procol Harum, and to his mind, the introduction to Whiter Shade of Pale was an important and iconic an element as any other part of the song. And he's probably right. You know the song, right? Da 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 da. Right?
Yeah. No.
You're king. Well, maybe he doesn't deserve the millions. Anyway, lawyers are fighting that out now. And it's funny, Johann Sebastian Bach's lawyers had no comment on the fact that Fischer stole the introduction he's suing about from Bach, albeit in public domain. If Fischer does win, it'll be surprising, but certainly not the first time a man was well compensated for the beauty and the prominence of his organ. Yes.
I saw that coming a mile away.
Coming being the operative term. Yes, yes, that incredibly obvious pun has set off the comedy bell. Not
well,
the Taco Bell.
His organ has gone to India.
Well, then it's shrunk a bit. This is the comedy bell, you know, which signals the arrival of the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so indigestible, so revolting, that you will drop the chalupa and run. But before you disappear into the men's or women's room of your choice, don't forget to spend your advertising dollars on Dave's Gone By. Thousands of listeners hear this program. Listeners who could be shopping at your store, eating at your restaurant, using your service. But if they don't hear about you on my show, how will they know? If you don't do an ad, of course the response is bad. Oh, the time and money you save when you advertise with Dave. Now, there are four keys to effective advertising on Dave's Gone By. Honesty, humor, repetition, and repetition. We don't have to hard sell because after a while the message sinks in.
Or the massage.
The medium is the massage, which is why our sponsors stay with us season after season. But we will make room for a couple more sponsors, of course, at our unbeatable rates. Compare us to Penny Saver, compare us to local TV, compare us to most other radio shows, and there is no comparison. Call now, 516-295-1511. Area code 516-295-1511. And within 24 hours, someone here will get back to you, and together we will create the ideal ad for your product, event, or service. 516-295-1511.
Someone here?
Well,
does
someone...
I'm not going to call them back.
Oh, sure you will.
Okay.
Okay.
If they promise me cash.
And if you don't
want to
call, you can email davesgoneby@aol.com. And you can check the website, davesgoneby.org, for our rate card. So by next Sunday, you could be sponsoring a segment, an interview, or even sponsor the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. Don't be good. Be punderful. Continuing the news gone
by. What has this turned into?
What?
This is like become really, really unbelievable radio.
Thank you, I think.
No.
I think, oh.
No.
Why? What's wrong with it, Jeff?
Well, first of all, we're doing like bad puns, and
yes,
then we're trying to get paid for them.
Well, yeah. And the problem with that is, it worked for Milton Berle, worked for Soupy Sales, and pretty much every other comedy team in the history of the universe.
Okay, borrow our time, please.
It made Wheeler and Woolsey famous, for Christ's sakes. Anyway.
Who's Wheeler and Woolsey?
Well, they were famous, for Christ's sakes. Continuing the news gone by with a Yuletide slant.
Hey, what happened to the bad pun?
Oh, there will be more. Well, the bad pun. You heard the bad pun. It was the organ one. Remember the organ?
That wasn't a pun.
Yes, it was. It was a play on the word organ. As opposed to a playing with your... Anyway.
He was an organist.
Toys for Tots, ladies and gentlemen. Toys for Tots, a charity run by the Marine Reserves, is busy giving away children's toys for the holidays. However, they turned down a donation of 4,000 talking Jesus dolls on the grounds of being potentially inappropriate. Toys for Tots Vice President Bill Green said that since the Marines are a government entity, they aren't allowed to choose one religion over another. And he said, quote, "We can't take a chance on sending out a talking Jesus doll to a Jewish family or a Muslim family.
For Christmas.
For anything." He did say that disappointed Christian children were more than welcome to strip a Ken doll and nail him to a Gumby. Now, see, I thought that was the best joke of the night.
Nail him to a Gumby.
Okay, here's a headline from the Association.
What is going on here? You know, I can't take any more of these vacations. Forget the Price is Right. Dave needs me here. This is horrible. We're nailing people with Gumbies?
Well, at least it's more flexible. He can still touch his toes, you know, when he's on the cross.
A Gumby?
Yeah.
Is Gumby a cross? What's up with that?
Well, it's a doll. You're nailing one doll to another. Get it?
No. You should nail him onto, like, a tree or something. I don't know.
You're just not...
I don't get that.
I'm still jet-lagged. That's why. This joke is 3 hours behind. Okay, here's a headline from the Associated Press that is too good to change or to paraphrase. I'm just going to read it.
I'll be the judge of that.
As it is, and I'm going to read the story pretty much verbatim, too.
Okay.
Inmate allegedly urged to strip for pie. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that the
No, not 3.142. No. It's two county jail officers from Adrian, Michigan, have been fired because authorities say they urged an inmate to strip and run around naked in his cell block in exchange for
his?
Pie. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would be a herb pie.
That would be cherry pie,
right?
Sure, it was cherry pie. Honest to God, the story is about cherry pie. He stripped in exchange for a piece, and the county sheriff said that the jailkeepers had been exemplary employees, and they considered the pie incident just a prank. What happened was the male inmate saw the officers having a nosh, so he asked for some too, and that became a conversation about just what the inmate would do for a slice of cherry pie. And apparently the answer was streaking around the jailhouse. Criminal charges will not be filed against the officers, and union officials are saying that their punishment was too harsh. Sure, all they did was humiliate a man completely at their mercy. No, but asked why he would go to such lengths for a piece of pastry, the prisoner pointed to his ass and said, "I'm just glad it wasn't steak night." Pointed to his ass, what else he would do. "I'm just glad it wasn't steak night."
I don't even get that.
And speaking of the derriere, here's an interesting statistic from American Standard Plumbing.
What are we doing?
We're doing a joke about American Standard Plumbing now. Okay. Every year, more than 7 million cell phones are accidentally dropped into toilets. Can you hear my ass now? Can you hear my ass now? No, but while we're on the subject...
I'm going to flush that joke right down the drain.
No, this leads to one of the great jokes, one of the great stories in recent memory. It's not about me, but I need to preface it by saying that I was on an American Airlines jet to Dallas a couple of weeks ago.
That's one of the few places I haven't been.
It's actually pretty neat in this kind of weather. It was neat.
Okay.
You should have heard my show when I talked about it. Okay.
I was here.
On the Dallas show?
I think so.
No. Because I did that one solo, as I recall. Okay. Anywho, as per national security, going through the airport, I have all my liquids and toiletry items in a clear plastic bag, and security people actually make me stop and divide the contents of that one bag into two smaller bags. And, of course, I had no scissors, no penknife, no nail file, no soda, no food. It's a wonder you can still bring your own bodies on an airplane now. At some point, they're going to make you check your skin at the gate, and then you have to wait till you land to pull it back over your bones. But, believe it or not, despite all these prohibitions about stuff in the sky, you are allowed to carry up to 4 books of matches. Now, you can't smoke on a plane.
You are?
Yeah.
Do you know when I went to Nepal, they took all my matches from my friend that I was carrying. They had, like, these giant things of matches.
Maybe it's different on international, but on an American, or at least in American Airlines, you can carry matches, but you can't smoke. I mean, we all know that announcement. They make it sound like they'll put you in Leavenworth for 10 years if you so much as like a Winston in the bathroom.
No, you tamper with the smoke detectors and it's all over.
Right, yeah, you can't smoke, but matches, you can carry. You can't light them, so what purpose they serve, I don't know. But if you are the lady who was flying American Airlines Flight 1053 last Monday from Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C. to Dallas-Fort Worth, you proved that matches not only light candles and start forest fires, they also put air wick to shame. That's because this woman kept lighting matches to cover the smell of her gas. Apparently, she had a medical condition that made her fart like a cabbage-eating rhino. Okay, amusing, except The plane had to make an emergency landing in Nashville. Other passengers didn't even notice her flatulence. What they noticed was the smell of sulfur and a crazy woman lighting matches on a plane. So they alerted the steward, who went into full anti-terrorist mode. And once they were on the ground, the woman told authorities she was sorry, but she did what she did to, quote, cover the smell of my body odor. Actually, it's more like a out-of-body odor. But either way, Nashville Airport spokesman Lynn Lawrence said, quote, it's humorous in a way, but you feel sorry for the individual as well, but not sorry enough to let her back on the plane. In fact, although she was not arrested, the woman has been banned from traveling on American Airlines, and the only good news is that JetBlue is creating a new division of airplanes designed especially for people with her problem. It's called JetBlue, and it's the only airline that has screens for wind shear on the seats. Okay.
No, no.
Actually, I got to learn the Carson thing. Give the pause. And the pause is actually funnier than the joke.
That's right.
Yeah. And finally, in the news gone by, here's one from the New York Post.
I just let him rip. I don't care.
I know that. Anything. Oh, my God. You were backfiring last night. Last time I saw you, it was like a car backfiring.
I have OJMS. Did I tell you about that?
OJMS?
Yeah.
Orange juice or orange what? No.
Old Jewish man syndrome. I get a little gassy now and again.
Oh, well.
You didn't know about OJMS?
I know. I do now. I'm getting it, too, yeah. as the person who was on the phone earlier will certainly attest to. Let's get to the last news gone by, because we have a guest coming. We got to get to it. Finally, the news gone by from Weird But True. An English man was sleeping soundly and kept sleeping even as a 35-foot tree slammed into his house and landed just feet from where he slept. In fact, the guy didn't even wake up until an hour later when his telephone rang. It was the police calling to tell him a giant tree had just smashed into his house. Now, some people think it's odd that the man didn't spring awake when it happened, but hey, he is far from the first man to wake up in the morning, look down, and see wood. And that's the news gone by for December 10th, 2006. Please send your comments, opinions, and cherry pies to Dave's Gone By. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That is Dave's Gone By. Box, what is it, Jeff?
I have no idea. I am just reeling from this segment. I cannot believe we just spent like 20 minutes on really horrendous material. I had such good stories. You're just telling bad things. Oh, it's horrible.
Box, thank you. Thank you so much. Did I say we were going to do a show together tomorrow? Or ever? No.
How long did it take you to write this stuff?
A few hours.
maybe, like, try harder.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Oh, there goes your mic. Box 62, New York. 11557-0062. And the address is also on our website.
Can I just call you and tell you how horrible this segment was?
Not right now. When the next segment is on, you can call us at 631-888-8811. 631-888-8811.
It wasn't funny.
It was amusing. Come on. The Gumby choke was smart. That was good stuff.
That was awful.
GameStandby.org is my website. It is also the place to find out about advertising on the show, getting our sponsor discounts, and finding out the whole history of Dave's Gone By. If you do drop us a line, we reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request. Our email is davesgoneby@aol.com. That's D-A-V as in verbatim. D-A-V-E-S, goneby@aol.com. I love the compliments. I listen to the criticisms. I long for feedback. So send me your letters, postcards, messages, packages, but please, no suicidal snowmen. I'm already sipping a frosty. Back after.
After you eat some onions from Taco Bell.
And that was news. If that was news, that was very, very, very special news.
Okay, listen to me. No, I mean listen to me on compact disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave's Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like Mel's a Poppin' and Handyman Yoni. Visits with guests like Reckless Eric and Julie Haggerty. Punchlines and politics in the news gone by. All just $11 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD. Minuteman, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minuteman, no job too big or small. Minuteman, family run since 1975. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman shoe store. Tell them they've sent you for 10% off. Minuteman, hero of our photocopying dreams.
Hi, I'm Mark Simon.
And I'm Jeannie Simon.
And you're listening to Days Gone By on WGBB.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello and wiggle to you all. This is Peter Fitzgerald. So happy to be back at the mic. That's my favorite thing in the world, just to be staring at a big, long, hard microphone on Dave's Gone By. I'm so happy Dave let me be here because, well, I've been looking for a job. I've been fired again. I can't seem to hold a job for more than a couple of months. Has to do with, oh, certain actions that... It's either being fired or being brought up on charges, so I figured firing's better, but then I'm going to go out and make some money in this world. So I thought I would turn to two very lovely people. They're hetero, they're straight, but it's okay. Sometimes I can even talk to breeders. And their names are Mark Simon and Gene Simon, and they've written a book about resumes and how to get jobs and all sorts of cool, icky things like that. Hello, Mark and Gene, are you there? Are you on the phone?
We're here, Peter.
How you doing, Peter?
Oh, I'm so good. My Peter is doing wonderfully. Thank you so much. How are you folks doing?
Well, we're just all tingly to talk to you.
Oh, goody. Oh, wiggle. Oh, yay. So tell me about your book.
Well, our book is called Your Resume Sucks.
Kind of like my ex-boyfriend. Hello. Thank you.
Hello. And we have expert resume writing advice in there, and we have the top five resume rebel rules. Mark and I call ourselves the resume rebels.
The resume rebel? Oh, does that mean you wear leather?
You know, at times, but we...
Ooh.
Would I be safe around you if I was wearing it that way?
No, I don't think you would be safe around me if you were wearing
an
Eskimo parka. Oh, I just reach into that parka and woo! I find your vitae really quick, if you know what I'm saying. Ooh. So what are your five rebel rules? Rebel. Ooh.
Well, the first rule is you have to have a job title at the top of your resume.
No job title?
No job.
Ooh. So in other words, you have to sort of say the kind of job you're going for, not just, hello, I'm here, I'm queer, I'm fabulous. I tried
that. That might work for some of your friends,
right,
but it won't work for getting a job.
Right.
So, but what if the job you're trying to go turns out to be not really what you put on the resume?
Change your resume.
Well, yeah, but it's too late once you've handed it in.
Well, that's part of where research comes in. I mean, part of it is you want to know what people are offering, what kind of job positions there are before you go in. You need to know what to tell them, and you need to be able to put your resume in the proper order so it best supports what that job title is.
All right. That's a good advice. What's another rebel, not really rebellious, I don't think, but keep going.
Well, here's something that's rebellious. We say do not put dates on your resume because dates date you.
Oh, my goodness. I've had so many dates hate me. They wake up, they're handcuffed, they're screaming. I'm like, I just went to get bagels 2.5 hours later. Yes.
Well, we won't put that on your resume.
No, I think not.
Well, you were talking a moment ago that you can't seem to hold down a job for more than a couple months. So if we put dates on your resume, what do you think that would look like where every 2 months there's another job there? But if we took dates off, they won't know how long you had any one of them. And it could actually work to your benefit showing experience, not the fact that you're just whatever you are that you can't hold a job.
I've also heard that they sort of like a man going into a gay bar. They're always looking for gaps. If they see dates and they see a gap of more than half a year, they're going to be like, what happened there?
Well, we want to avoid gaps.
Yeah.
So maybe that's because I'm a breeder.
Well, when you're on the railroad, you really want to avoid the gaps, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, the other thing is, if you put dates on there, like, for instance, graduation dates from a college, they'll try to figure out how old you are.
Oh, and that, I guess there's an ageism factor, and you don't want that happening.
That's right.
Certainly,
for being young and for being old.
Right. Sometimes it can go the other way, too. You might be considered too young for a job.
Sweetie, I only wish. Darling, you made my day, let me tell you. Okay, give me another rebel rule. Rebel, rebel, tear your dress.
Okay, here's another one. This is also a little rebellious now.
Okay.
So you don't want to use what we call the worthless the adjective statement because they all say the same thing, and that is, I want a job.
Duh. Well, mine says I want to get laid. I knew I should change that. Oh.
You know, that there might work for you.
Depending on where you're going, that actually might work. Yeah. If you want to work in Hollywood, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I put down, oh, so I have to be more specific. Like, if I put on my resume, I want a hot man inside me. That would do better, you think?
That would work better.
Well, but you'd have to figure out how to put that into a job title. Like catcher.
Couldn't I just draw a little picture of a fist? But seriously, folks. So wait a minute. What is the actual rule there about, what were you saying, the objective?
Yeah, don't put an objective statement. So many people put an objective statement, and like I said, it doesn't mean anything. You know, like saying, we read a lot of them that say, I want a job where I can advance rapidly and
use
my
skills.
Right, and make a lot of money. Well, yeah, that's just good for you.
Yeah, they all say that. That's why we put replace it with a job title. When I'm flipping through resumes, I've got 50 to 100 I need to fly through in just a moment. I'm only going to pull out the ones that are the job position that I'm looking to hire. I don't even look at the other ones. So if you don't have a job title, I'm not even looking at your resume.
Well, may I ask why you're looking for, are you the president of a company or are you in personnel somewhere?
Jeannie and I have worked for over 20 years in the entertainment industry, so we're often crewing up big projects.
Oh. Well, wiggle.
Well, plus we own 5 companies between us, and we hire a lot of people. Mark has an animation house, and we see a lot. We see, I don't know how many, hundreds a year. Artist resumes and writer resumes. You know, anything having to do with production.
Oh, I can doodle. I can make little squiggles.
Oh,
doodle. Oh, you mean with a pencil.
Well put. I think you want to doodle my noodle. I think that's what's really going on here. Well, that's the subtext. We need to get Jean out of the room for a bit.
I know.
She protects me here.
Well.
An odd person out here.
So let me give you some of my experience, and you see how I can shape that and make a better resume. And see, I was a Boy Scout troop leader.
Oh.
And I only a couple of the kids went missing. But the bodies were found. It was not a problem. Had nothing to do with that.
Well, have you thought about possibly seeing if you wanted to have an assistant position working for Mark Foley?
This is true. If I worked for Mark Foley, I would not just be a page. I would be a whole chapter, let me tell you. Thank you. I was waiting for the last one.
That was good. Very good.
I was a congressional page for Barney Frank and for Ted Kennedy, oddly enough.
Oh.
There was no sexual tension there. Well, there was for him, but not for me. That's just one of those things. I ran the laundromat for the Rockville Center Catholic Diocese because I was just very good at getting out certain stains from cassocks.
That's very valuable.
So how do I spin that? Because they'll ask why I was fired, and that had to do with, well, other stains on the cassocks. But so if people look at that, and I'm going for, say, a really hoity-toity big job at a law firm, how do I say, ooh, do I call myself clothing engineer?
Well, we'd have to kind of look deeper and figure out what's actually relevant to doing that job that you want and which one goes first. Another reason for not putting dates is we want to make sure that we take your experience and put it in order of the most relevant up top.
If you can't
do that.
That's interesting. That is a new way of doing things. That's just having everything that's really relevant first, even if they're out of order or something like that.
Order doesn't matter. Your experience matters.
Nice.
If I did something last year or last week, does it really matter if I've done it?
Well, and here's something else talking about order. A lot of people put education first before their work experience.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I want to put that at the very, very end.
Not at all. And it's different in different areas. Like being in the arts, your education pretty much doesn't matter at all. I mean, I've worked on over 2,500 different productions, and I've never even been asked if I have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it, all animation, or what else do you do?
Well, I started as an art director and production designer in feature films.
Uh-huh.
So I've designed and directed. I've directed a lot of animated shorts and a lot of commercials, and I've storyboarded on anywhere from TV series, feature films, commercials, and whatnot.
Did you do the art direction on Manhole 4?
No. Not on that one, but there are a few that you might be familiar
with.
Meat
Lickers 13? Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, my goodness. The set design on that. And it got messy, too, towards the end. Hmm?
That could work. I actually did work on Slave Girls from Beyond Infinity, though.
Was there a sequel about slave boys?
Are
you thinking of one?
No, I think they're looking for a writer and producer. Are you
Wiggle, yes. Oh, my gosh.
You know
I can dream it. I can make it happen.
Hollywood executive, that's your job title.
That's
what we're going
Hollywood
for now.
Executive.
I'll put that right, as you suggest, that'll be the title of my resume. Hollywood, I can put a little S as like a funny, as a cute little pun thing right before executive. So it's Hollywood sex executive.
Oh.
See? Huh? That's moving my noodle. That'll get me some good jobs of the blow variety. But you know, what else did I do? Oh, I was personal assistant to Neil Patrick Harris. That was fun.
It was great
when I got there, but, well, wiggle. I have
that could be your first item under job experience.
There you go.
That's very good.
Did you help bring him out?
I coaxed him out. I tugged him out. I pulled him out, literally, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, it was a lovely job. And what else did I do? Oh, yes, I ran the Meat Shack Bookstore and Winery on Christopher Street.
Management.
Management
there
skills.
You go. And I kept a lot of those folks up, if you know what I'm saying. And now, of course, I'm the vice president of Wigglefar, the Woodmere Gay and Lesbian Front and Rear. So I have some union experience. Usually I coital kind of union, if you know what I'm saying.
Ah, that kind of
See,
union.
See, that's excellent. And we could put that under affiliations on your resume.
Yeah. Oh, I love the way you guys think. Is there a way that I can... Do you have a book? Of course you have a book. Your resume sucks. How can people get it?
Well, you can go to our website at yourresumesucks.biz.
B-I-Z.
Oh, yourresumesucks.jiz. Sorry. Was that biz?
No,
B. Well, I'm so sorry. I just get confused about
that. You know what? But that brings up a point. I think something else we should throw on your resume, which is your bilingual. English and Lisbian.
Well, I guess the tongue with the lingual thing counts for quite a lot, doesn't it? So one or two more real suggestions, useful things for people who have what they think is a good resume. But
you know, one of the things that we see, it's not one of our top, we actually have 42 rules, but we usually just talk about the top five. But one of the rules is no paragraphs. So many people try to explain things on their resume. Everything should be short and bullet points because you know what? None of us ever read a resume. We glance at it.
Good point. Okay, so it's one thing. So if you list where you worked, then it's just bullet point what you did. So really quick sort of like that.
And what we say is, if you're a cashier, you don't want to put on there a bullet point that you took money. You know, that's the duh factor. We kind of
know that.
But what you want to put on is what you did beyond your job title.
Like molesting the little children when they were going over the conveyor belt.
That would be one of the first ones on the list.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's result-oriented, yes.
Did you know that there's an extra 20 cents added if the finger goes in? It's a very interesting thing. I didn't know that, but I learned.
You're boasting now.
Well, yeah.
Is that a tax?
I've got a long finger. It's God's gift.
Now, Peter, did we tell you that I also write resumes for people?
Aha, so if people are too stupid to do it themselves...
I'll do it for you.
Ooh, how much do you charge for something like that?
Well, it depends on where you are in your career. So I charge by entry-level, mid-level career, and then the seasoned professional.
So if someone wanted to enter me, how much would that be?
Well, let's see. It's 100, and Mark's, you know, we just changed our prices. Mark's going to look that up for me.
Oh, well.
But we do have a special at the moment.
Ooh, wiggle.
And that is if you log onto our website and purchase one of our services in 48 hours.
You can purchase my service. Many people have.
It's just so cheap. You get $40 off on your order.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good deal.
Are you of the mind that some people said fit it all on one page, or are there other people where it says, no, you can do two or three pages?
Well, it depends. I mean, typically we try to get it in on one page, but if you really can support two pages, like I've done, I think, two resumes now for people, And they really did have, and they were mid-level career people, so they had a lot of experience. So I think two is fine.
Two is good. I find it sometimes hard to get it all in one, which is why I do threesomes. But, you know.
Hey.
Just a little humor there. Just a little wiggle humor for you.
So, Peter, if you, let's see, you, what would you consider yourself? Mid-career level?
Oh, I'm still sort of entry level in
you're
my way.
You're still kind of...
Because I've flitted through so many things. What was that? I missed that.
You just like to enter.
Wiggle! Oh, you're good at that. You should have a different resume just for yourself saying punmeister. I like that. I like you.
Very good at
ooh. I think I'd like Mark to work on my resume, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to see where you put your resume.
You can reorder it, if you know what. You can put whatever you want, wherever you want.
Aren't you afraid of paper cuts?
Oh, I've had worse. Carpet burns, oh my goodness. So, Mark and Gene Simon, one more bit of advice for people who are looking for work and want to spice up and spruce up their resume.
All right. Lies equal goodbyes. Never lie on your resume. People have a tendency to overinflate what their actual job position was.
Yeah.
And that's really dangerous because everything can be checked so easily online these days.
Do people check? Do they really? I mean, you can lie about the level of your position after you're at the company. They can check whether you were there. And if you were, you're okay, no?
Well, but I'll tell you what. It's so easy to check what people actually did because you can find other people and ask them so easily. But other things happen. Let me give you a quick little story. When I was art directing my second movie called Death Row Game Show, you would love it.
I've heard of that, yeah.
This was a low-budget piece of trash. Anyway. So
is that the bullet point on your resume when you're
yeah.
going from...
Well,
piece of trash.
I did have on my resume experiences I actually admit to. That was the title.
And yeah. References upon subpoena.
Yeah. That, which would be a good one for you.
What?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
All right, so anyways, I'm casting people to work for me in the art department. It's my second movie. A guy walks in, hands me his resume. The first thing on his resume is my only other credit. So not only was he stupid enough to steal a credit, he wasn't smart enough to check to see whose it was that he stole.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'd never seen him before.
And he couldn't have had one little gaffer grip job and you wouldn't have noticed him. I mean,
he listed my exact credit from my previous movie.
Goodness. What did you tell him? How did you dispose of him?
Well, you played with him for a while.
Oh, did you? Oh, tell me. Wiggle!
You're going to like Mark even more.
you're going to get me in trouble here, Jeannie.
How did you play with him?
Well, I started asking him, really, you worked on that. Who was on that movie? What did you do? Oh, did you work on this part or that part? And he kept stammering through. I said, look, I've never seen you before, and I did this.
Oops.
Get out of here. And I just booted him right out the door.
Ooh. So you see, like 100 people would tell that story, and then there would be one or two people who say, I admired his moxie. I hired him on the spot. But not you.
Moxie is not lying. Moxie is going in with a huge ego, like how I got started. I actually got one of my jobs because the producer looked at the director and said, wow, he was really cocky. And she goes, yeah, isn't that great? You think he'll ever let us down?
Ooh.
And hired me.
This is good. Well, that's a good idea. What about you, Jean? Any good stories like that?
Well, I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
When I was living out in Hollywood, I was having a hard time finding work. So I took my resumes, and if you go down to Hollywood Boulevard there's just tons of production companies. You just, in all those buildings, you just have to walk in and find people. So that's what I did. I walked in, I'd give my resume to whoever I could meet, you know, preferably producers, but
right.
production managers, whoever. So I went in this one office, and I didn't hear, there was nobody out front, and typically there's a receptionist, but there was no one. But I heard voices in the back, so I wandered back there. And my maiden name is Pappas, which is Greek.
Yeah.
The guy looks at my resume and he says, oh, you're a Greek girl. I said, yeah. He goes, I know a great commercial director in town. He's Greek. He loves to hire Greeks. I'm going to give him a call. So he calls the guy. He said, you got to meet this girl. So I ended up meeting him. Turned out to be a great guy. And he hired me on his next two commercials.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, as I've always said, you can't go wrong when you go Greek.
heard that one.
I took my Greek people. That's all. Wiggle. But that does make, you've got to always be ready because you never know. You always dress well. That's what I've always heard.
Well, and the other thing is, for her, it wasn't just mailing out or in these days, emailing your resume.
Right.
She got out there, met people face to face, and that's where you land jobs.
That's a very good point. Well, I want to thank so much Mark Simon and Gene Simon for landing here in the neighborhood with me, Peter Fitzgerald. Please remind people one more time where they can get your lovely book and all your services that you do of jiggling resumes and twiggling your little woody things.
Well, check out our website, which is yourresumesucks.biz. That's B-I-Z. You can order our book from our website. You can also take a look at our resume writing services, and we have lots of freebies.
Ooh, freebies. I love it. They're almost as good as quickies. Almost.
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 Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, terrific, fabulous day.
Thank you, Peter.
It was awesome, Peter. Thanks.
Did you know that I, Dave, am not just a fantastic radio personality, I'm also a playwright, and my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor I bring to Dave's Gone By every week. Funny, sad, true. Makes a great gift, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511 or performingartsinsider.com.
Hi there, I'm Mark Simon.
And I'm Jeannie Simon, and we're from yourresumesucks.biz.
You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to Dave's Gone By, the last couple of minutes of it. Jeff, thank you so much.
Dave, are you really a radio personality?
Just barely. I mean, on this radio station. Anyway, gotta do some business. Gotta tell everybody that our 200th episode, you know when that is?
It's the 1 week I'm not gonna be here next week.
That's right. Oh, you're gonna be gone again?
Florida!
Well, have a wonderful, happy
Although
holiday
I haven't got
trip.
My confirmation from United that I'm going through Chicago to get to Florida.
Just one layover?
I know. It's kind of sad, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, that's just, you need to stop a rolly door.
Maybe I should go back to Vegas and get to Florida.
There you go. Anyway, well, unfortunately, you won't be here, but I'll try and include some best of material with you and on the special episode because we'll be leading into Hanukkah next week.
Hanukkah.
Rabbi Saul Solomon will be here, and he's interviewing Bruce Adler, twice Tony-nominated Broadway star, who's currently appearing in a Yiddish vaudeville off-Broadway for the folks being in theater. So Bruce Adler and the rabbi and lots of best of clips next week, the 200th episode of Dave's Gone By. And then in 2 weeks...
It's a special one. This is the one that they get the free copy of if they buy 3 past episodes of Dave's Gone By.
We'll shrunk it to 3 now. Good. Okay. If you
What's
buy
it, 5?
Three, something like that. Well, hell, what the hell?
I'm going to put them on sale right now.
Buy three episodes of Dave's Gone By on CD and you'll get the 4th. You'll get a copy of the 200th episode free with it. Honest to God, we will do that. And they're only $11 a piece. davesgoneby@aol.com is the email address for all of that information. And, of course, the website, davesgoneby.org. And, you know, in 2 weeks, 2 Sundays from now, it's going to be December 24th, Christmas Eve. Now, we will not have the...
Is that the woman from Avenue Q?
Is her name Christmas Eve?
Yes. Don't you remember?
No, I didn't remember that.
She's married to the guy whose life sucks.
Oh, okay. Okay, that was irrelevant. All right, but thanks for bringing up. I'm a theater guy. It's all relevant when you bring up theater. But seriously, the December 24th, we will not be here for the pre-show because they're going to be doing a Christmas special on the station. But
I get preempted for Christmas.
Well, there you go.
That's going to be the title of Dave's Gone By. Preempted for Christmas.
That's actually pretty good. But the show is not preempted, just a pre-show. So we will be here from 11 to midnight, also on the 24th. I'll be playing some of my famous Christmas novelty songs, among other things. And then 3 weeks from now...
Can we play some of those novelty games, too?
Not if you bring the toys. And then on December 31st from 9 until 12:30 a.m., it's the WGBB New Year's Eve party. I'll be here. Jeff will be here.
I thought it was a suckfest.
I can't really put that on the press release. We'll call it a suckfest, but for everybody else, it's a party, and it's going to be on the air live.
It's not just a party.
It's a suckfest party?
It's a suckfest party.
Well, we'll see how many hosts take part, because we've invited...
It's our suckapalooza.
We've invited all the hosts of GBB to either come by, most of them are going to call in or pre-record stuff throughout the 3.5 hours that we're on the air. Should be a blast. So tune in 9 to 12:30 on December 31st. What, Jeff?
It's our 007 Suckfest party.
What does that have to do? Why?
2007.
It is 007. Wow. So we'll be shaken, not stirred. Talk about, want to remind people also that Jeff and I will be on the air tomorrow afternoon from 2:30 until 5 o'clock on WUSB. That's the radio station out in Stony Brook. WUSB FM 90.1. You might not get it on your radios out here, but it's live streaming on the web at WUSB.FM because Jeff and I have started a new separate program on that station called The Big Time. Now, that normally airs every other late Thursday, early Friday morning from 3 in the morning until 6:30 a.m.
It's actually Friday, 3 a.m.
It really is Friday, but for some on schedules and grids, it tends to show up on the
but
Thursday.
But if you stay up late, it's Thursday. If you
if
get
stay
up
really
early,
late, yeah.
But if you get up early, it's Friday morning.
Yeah. If you're thinking of drive time, you get up Friday morning, 5:30 in the morning, there we are.
So if you're driving to, like, Florida next Friday...
Right, there we are.
We're
not
on
this
drive
Friday, we'll be up. But if you're never going to be up at that hour, you can hear Jeff and me tomorrow afternoon. 2:30 in the afternoon until 5 o'clock
bore you
on
tears
WUSB.
For 2.5 hours.
Yeah, well, Jeff will tell more about what he won and all the stuff he did on The Price is Right. Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about what's in the news. It'll be great. WUSB.FM.
We're not doing the news thing again, are we? Do we have to do the news thing again?
No, not these news stories.
Oh, thank God.
Thank you. Whoops, there goes your mic. So, just a reminder.
Turn it on. All right.
Also, still, you can hear the Robin Hitchcock Festival on the website WUSB.FM. Other reminders, got to tell you real quick. Listen to Indecent Exposure Radio Saturdays at midnight. All the way till 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings on WVOX 1460 a.m. in New Rochelle. They were on our show a few months ago, so give them a plug.
Don't forget our friends at the Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying needs. And if you mention our show, your show, oops, I'm not taking over now. If you mention Dave's Gone By, you get a 10% discount.
That's right. You also get a 10% discount if you subscribe to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
And if you mention my name, they'll throw you out.
And MortgagesRock.com. They are the place to go to learn about how to be a mortgage broker and also fancy schmancy balloons for all your party decorating needs. Give the phone number very quick, please.
You don't know it?
516-797-3229.
That's
797-3229, area code 516 for fancy schmancy balloons. Want to tell everybody also listen to Vic Fusco doing Swing City Vic Sunday nights at 9. Joyce Keller, the radio psychic, she's on Wednesday nights at 11. Want to thank Rob Jante for calling in the pre-show. That was kind of fun.
Don't forget Charlie and me on
Two on the Isle. That's right. When's that on?
That's every other Friday night, I think.
On Manhattan Neighborhood Network Cable TV
Channel
in New York.
Channel 57, I believe.
Something like that. You can find out the information at MNN.org. Manhattan
That's Mary,
Neighborhood Network.
Nancy.
Mary Nancy Nancy. Catch a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By Thursday and Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX Radio. You can find out about that at my website, davesgoneby.org. I need a whole show just to do the outro stuff for the damn show. Oh, and I'm going to be...
You'd be a great talk show guest because it's plug.
I'm telling you, I got to do it. Thank you very much to Mark and Jean Simon, the authors of Your Resume Sucks. Check their website, yourresumesucks.biz. And thank you to Peter Fitzgerald for doing that fabulous interview with them. I want to tell everybody, be on the lookout for Mike Shimeri. He was a radio host on here for a few months. He's over at WCWP. Did an interview with him, pre-recorded it the other day. It will air on December 22nd, 2006. Check it out. I'm his last guest. He's going on sabbatical for a bit. So it's like the fourth time I've been on there, and he chose me to end the show with because he's going down in flames.
Because there's no one else to end the career with other than you.
Well, anyway, well, again, wish my wife love and good luck on her dissertation.
And just remember, Joyce, if they don't like you, I'll kill them.
That's right. Thank you, Jeff Goodman. I want to dedicate the outro song, John Lennon's Love, to her. Also,
aww,
did that song because John was shot on December 8th. All these 26 years ago. Amazing.
Hard to believe.
But anyway, hopefully I'll still be alive and Jeff will. Well, you won't be here. You'll be in Florida. But I'll be back next Sunday, December 17th, for the 200th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz and Jeff Goodman wishing you good night, happy Hanukkah,
and gone by.
And love.
Love is real, real is love. Love is feeling, feeling love. Love is wanting love.